Jason was in before.
So changes except
and then
36-20. She did last night. Picked up
so,
the
right
changes, which was good.
The biggest thing, the biggest page is all the info.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I think I actually have the conference number.
Oh, no, Chair Davis has
it. So last, carrying around so much crap.
Yeah.
That was what I meant to.
Thank you.
So,
okay. All right. So,
I don't even think it's.
I don't think anything's in there.
High white.
So then that's
well,
yeah,
2237 article section 80.
You just sometimes it's not a traffic issue.
How was it today?
Good when I can get back so she can do that.
Drove here 6 miles.
And last night
we can be first to open the floor at 1.
Yeah, I had no problem. Oh, well.
You guys don't know. Do you know who's what revisor is doing the revisor's bill?
I don't. No.
Okay. We'll find out, and we'll... because we'll all have to get signatures.
Okay.
What do we have to get signatures for on the bill that's concurred on? If we're just going to concur on this bill, it's not that there's been a conference
Captain,
committee report.
How you doing?
It's not only to get the town police to sign off on the corrections bill. You just need to get the lead.
What are your
chief authors? I'll find out.
Take this back.
So how is this any different than the original bill? Because it was abbreviated.
It contained most of the same provision.
Okay.
So is this
needle based
again?
Well, we
all
do
that.
Yeah.
Just call your number.
Or my number.
Yeah,
and I'll
call
them.
Yeah.
Play Monday.
Good
morning. Hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
See. Reconsideration is always quicker.
Anyway, let me start it. So the changes in the income tax is the annual credit?
All this.
Do you know if
the veteran?
I don't know if this is number right off the end.
And the change for the certificate issue date.
We're going to call this bill.
Oh, that's right. This is the right.
Subject. The LGA, the economic development, and the collect. $4 million. It's not a technical thing.
Yeah, sorry. Kind of got all your stuff.
Threw me
Anna,
off.
What should we call this bill?
I think the subject line.
Which one?
The one from last night.
I have to go to the desk and see if they got
did
it.
Did you get the hand, foot, and mouth?
I don't think they did. If they didn't get it, then it's House Bill 2690 with SCH 2690823.
Oh, what do you call it?
Here, tax technically.
I don't think Mira does.
That's
that's when I called the pediatrician. Her gums are all swollen.
Yeah.
Offered. It must be because we're going to March
26th.
When is that?
Let's see.
Suggestion.
You got pay 13.
This is for almost.
Well, then,
I'm thinking we could say, like,
to do
2013 plus.
Why don't we say,
so that's one way to
discuss. That just and when your mouth hurts,
you're going to run it later.
So why would
okay.
What does it have besides over there?
The economic development team.
So,
and it's got the sales tax, the $4 million out of it.
Yeah, well, with that we don't have to put in the title. And when is the LGA effective?
It's early, but she's already slinging it.
Some of it's 12, some of it's 13.
But could we say, like, payable 2012 and 13?
We'll call the conference committee to order on House File 247. Members, you should have a bill before you. I'll be offering a quick amendment. And I'll explain that briefly as we get going here. So I'd like to welcome everyone to the conference committee. And what I'd like to do, first of all, to get the bill in the shape or the conference report in the shape that I would like. I have an amendment that can be passed out here. And then the order for the day will be to, or for the morning, will be to simply have staff go over the changes. Mm-hmm. And they would be changes from House File 2337. And so then we will just go through the changes and open up for some member questions, and then we'll get this conference report as amended out of here.
I don't even know what's supposed to change that. Actually, that was part of what we saw, because I just
so I will move the A12-1040 amendment. And what this amendment does is, you know, we listen very, very closely to the governor. We studied the veto message. And we want to get a tax bill signed that has a lot of very important provisions in it for Minnesotans. This, what we did was we upped the MIF funding. And what this would do is it would say that 25% basically goes to the Science and Technology Initiative Advisory Commission. And so I'd open up for any questions from members. It's pretty clear.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Limmer?
Mr. Chair, in looking at this amendment, it seems to have the same effect of giving the, by seeking approval of a simple majority of the commission, because the commission, basically, are we giving them a veto power on the decision-making of whatever they decide?
I would call for staff to come forward to answer the Limmer question. Ms. Manzi?
And Mr. Chair, while staff is coming forward,
Senator Michelle,
would you describe this as a something the commissioner wants to have?
I have not visited with the commissioner of deed on this one, so... Ms. Manzi, to the Limmer question.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, the appropriation that's in the new conference committee report would still have to be used for the things that the Minnesota Investment Fund is authorized to make expenditures for in the statute. The advisory commission, which is in a different chapter of statute, is still sort of within the purview of deeds, consists of 18 members. And for 25% of the $7 million appropriation, the advisory commission would have to approve how the commissioner of deed decided to use that 25% of the appropriation. So another way of putting it is that they would have veto power over the things that the commissioner wanted to use the 25% for. Then the commissioner could, of course, propose using it for something else and work with the commission to reach an agreement.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Manzi, now that we know how it works, why would we do that?
Ms. Manzi?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, I think that the author's intent is to ensure that a portion of the appropriation for the Minnesota Investment Fund goes to new and emerging businesses in the science and technology area. There are also representatives of the venture capital community and the angel investment community on the advisory commission. And I think the intent is to have input from those two groups, sort of the science and technology world and the venture capital world, into how a share of this appropriation is used. The author may want to expand on that.
I think you did a fine job. Senator Limmer?
The only question I have is, why don't we just give direction on how to spend the money in a certain percentage rather than giving a veto power to the commission?
Yes, this is the way I had it drafted. I really feel that we need to get some funds that will go directly to the Science and Technology Initiative Advisor. I think that in the past, I worked very hard last year, right up until July in special session, to get some funding directed there, and I think we need to get some more there, and I think this amendment would do it.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Manzi?
Mr. Chair and Senator Limmer, there was some consideration given to that approach in preparing this amendment, and when we reviewed the statute for the Minnesota Investment Fund, we saw that that program, there's a subdivision in that chapter of statute that delineates what the eligible expenditures are for that program. And in order to say that they have to use 25% of the money for the things that we wanted, we really would have had to go in and amend that section of statute and sort of change the nature of what the Minnesota Investment Fund does. And so it seemed that it was more efficient and more sort of to the point to say that we've got this existing commission of people from the science and technology world and the venture capital and angel investment world, and instead of going in at this point without having the opportunity to consult with deed and so on about what the Minnesota Investment Fund does, let's just have this group consult with the commissioner and then sign off on things that are toward the ends that the author intended.
Senator Limmer.
I have no further questions.
Okay, Senator Michelle and then Senator Ortman. Senator Michelle.
Mr. Chair, so this language then is drawn just to the I describe it as one-time money that is being appropriated. Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
So this kind of confining language is just for the one-time money. It's only for 25% of the one-time money.
So, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Last year, when we worked on the language for the Science and Technology Initiative, I was surprised at how many people contacted me and thanked me for that language. They were very excited about that. It was a very small appropriation. It seemed like it was cutting edge. And now I think it makes sense that if we're going to allot the $7 million, that we bring all of our resources to bear in the best way to invest that money. I think we are empowering them. I think it's the right thing to do here, and I'm very supportive of this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Orban. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Okay, so now we have House File, or the conference report of House File 247. As amended, what I'd like to do, and we will have time for questions, I would like to run through, Ms. Manzi, maybe you could stay there. I'd like to go through simply what the changes are, because, as you know, House File 2337 that the governor vetoed had many local projects in it, had the Veterans Jobs Credit in it, the Historic Credit, which I think many members have probably been getting quite a bit of contact from folks on how important that is. research and development, local government aid fixes, angel investment, and we have in the bill the ability for a city not to go bankrupt with some provisions we have for a small city, and a part of the bill that addresses that. So if we could have very succinct description of the changes only, because otherwise it's House File 2337. So to get to the conference report on House File 247, I would like to just go over how it's different from 2337. So Ms. Mansi, if you could just go through the changes so members and in the public will know what has changed.
Mr. Chair, members of the conference committee, I'll start off, and then I think the next article that I won't be talking about would be Article 6, the public finance article, and I don't know if that's Mr. Sylvie or Ms. Pollack, but maybe if they could come up and then speak to what's in that when I finish the first five articles. The first five articles are contain the Department of Revenue technical and policy provisions. These articles were not part of House File 2337. They were contained in the Senate version of House File 2690. So Senate File 2136, the first engrossment, and those have come over into this bill. There have been a few minor changes. There were a few sections deleted from what the department originally proposed that one body or the other didn't really think was appropriate, and then a couple of technical edits to some of the sections. But generally, it's what was in the department's policy and technical bill in Articles 1 through 5.
Mr. Sylvia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Next article, Article 6, is a public finance article, and the only change from the conference committee with respect to the public finance article is the addition of four new provisions that were part of the Senate bill that was passed that has to do with modifying the Minnesota Bond Allocation Act, and what this does is modify the carry-forward provisions. Right now, it would be a one-year carry-forward provision, and what these four sections do is modify that so that they would be able to be carried forward to the maximum level permitted by federal law, would remove any sort of penalty.
Mr. Sylvie, could you describe the what we did here with the student loan provisions?
Mr. Chair, I believe that we would allow the carry-forward provisions to, instead of one-year cutoff, it would be able to be carried forward to the maximum permitted, so it would be 3 years, and that is found in Section 6. It would just remove the requirement that they be carried forward to one successive calendar year and be permitted up to three successive calendar years as permitted under federal law.
Okay. Could you describe a little more how that helps Minnesotans that are getting student loans?
My understanding, Mr. Chair, is that whatever isn't used would then have to be returned and then would be then reallocated. And what this would permit is that any remaining funds that would not be returned would then be able to be carried forward and would be able to use in the successive years instead of going back into the pool and then would be reallocated.
So this could greatly increase the amount available for student loans for our Minnesotans?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, please continue.
Yeah, I can do that. Mr. Chair and members, Article 7 is property taxes, and with the exception of the items that were removed that was carried in last evening's 2690 having to do with the LGA, the only remaining changes would be the state general levy is now frozen for 1 year at the 2012 level for 2013 only. It would just be a one-year freeze. And also, there's two provisions that would repeal or a requirement that was found in Statute 270C requiring the House of Representatives and the Senate Tax Committee review the benchmark study by March 1, 2012. The two sections, one section that requires that has been repealed, and then a cross-reference found in another section of the Property Tax Working Group subdivision was also repealed, so it would eliminate the requirement that that working group review by March 1st of 2012 and every 2 years thereafter the benchmark study and the tax indicators.
Okay. The next article, Ms. Manzi.
Mr. Chair, Article 8 is the income tax article. There are 5 changes to that article. The allocation for the Angel Investment Credit will be increased by $4.5 million in tax year 12 only, and then it will return to its current law level of $12 million for tax years 13 and 14. The change to the historic credit effective date, this was a retroactive change in order to allow the credit for projects that had begun work under different ownership prior to the enactment of the 2010 jobs bill. And that provision in House File 2337 had a delay in when the credit certificates for qualifying projects could be issued until fiscal year 14. And that delay is removed so that as soon as the applications for any projects that qualify under the change are reviewed, the certificates will be issued, so they can be issued as soon as July 1st of this year in fiscal year 13. The rate on the second tier of the research and development credit, which is 2.5% under current law, was to have increased to 3.1% in House File 2337 conference report. In this conference report, it is increasing to 2.8%. So it's at a higher level than current law, but lower than what was in the earlier conference report. The Veterans Jobs Credit had been allowed in the 2337 conference report for the first 2,500 qualifying individuals hired, and that number has been cut in half to the first 1,250 qualifying veterans who are hired. The final change is that the 2337 conference report had two sections in it that repealed the 2% contractor withholding. Those have been removed from this conference report because those same two sections are contained in the House File 1653 Conference Committee Report, which is the sort of omnibus independent contractor reporting bill. And that conference report, I think, is going to be taken up, and that one is expected to progress independently. So the body didn't want to have the same two provisions in two different places.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Manzi. Any other changes to the bill?
No more changes to the income tax article. Let's see.
Mr. Sylvia?
Mr. Chair, remember that one additional change
in Article 10, which is the local development article. This contains all the provisions, the TIF district provisions that were in 2337. The only additional item is that the city of St. Cloud had a TIF provision that was included in the Senate bill. It was modified based on language from the auditor's office. The House and Senate worked together and it was approved by the city. And what this does is would allow the city of St. Cloud, this particular TIF district, to be deemed a gap year district. So what this would do is clear up any issues about spending increment. Now, if they were to be deemed a pre-1979 district or post, the type of spending would be different, and what this allows them to do is to be treated as a gap year district so that the spending that they have would be deemed legal under the statute, and this was approved both by the city of St. Cloud and the state auditor's office, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Ms. Manzi.
Mr. Chair, I'll keep going on, and then we'll jump back to the sales tax article with Ms. Dalton and Ms. Pollack. Article 11 is the estate tax article. That's the same as what was in House File 2337. Article 12 is the changes to the homestead market value to amend various statutes to reflect the change from a credit to an exclusion. Article 13... hoping it's the miscellaneous article.
It is.
It is the miscellaneous article. Very good. Okay, there were several changes to the miscellaneous article. The appropriation for the Greater Minnesota Internship Grants has changed to be $1 million per year for fiscal 13, 14, and 15 only. There's a report due, there's two reports due in between now and the end of fiscal 14, and if the legislature feels the program is working well, they can then choose to extend the funding for it at that time. The budget reserve cancellation has decreased to $27.9 million, and the offsetting language related to recognition of the UCARE donation has been removed. As we discussed earlier, the appropriation for the Minnesota Investment Fund has increased to $7 million. The cancellation of the amount in the Department of Revenue special account for the Local Sales Tax Administration has been removed from this bill because it's carried in the House File 2690 amendment from the Senate. And the final change to miscellaneous, which you may or may not notice, is that the two sections related to liquor reporting were relocated to the sales and special tax article. So they are still in the bill. They're just in a different article from where they were in House File 2337. Now, unless there's questions on that, then I will give way to Ms. Pollitt on the sales tax article changes.
Okay, let's, before we go here, are there questions for Ms. Manzi or Mr. Sylvia? Senator Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Manzi. Can you just comment about the, explain about the UCARE funds and why that's not needed now?
Ms. Manzi.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, maybe Ms. McQuay will be able to help me out with that. I think there was some thinking with the earlier conference committee report that the legislature wanted to recognize the fact that the state is having to transfer a portion of the UCARE donation to the federal government because of offsetting changes to the Medicare program. And I think that the Department of Management and Budget has said that that language wasn't necessary, and so it's been removed. And maybe Ms. McQuay can nod or shake her head and say more. Or
Ms. McQuay, from your seat there, do you want to make a comment on that?
Mr. Chair and members, I would agree with everything that Ms. Manzi has said. I think MMB has said that it's not necessary to have that language. They have to make the payment anyway, and so they'll just go ahead and do that.
And then with the removal, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, with the removal of that language, there was a corresponding change in the amount of the transfer. And I think there may have been a small change in the overall global spreadsheet since last week that may have moved it a little bit more. And Ms. Schill is nodding, so I think that's correct. But the bulk of the change is due to the UCARE donation issue.
Senator Orman.
Thank you.
Okay, if there are no other questions for Ms. Manzi or Mr. Sylvia, we will go to, I believe, Ms. Dalton and Ms. Pollitt. Yeah.
I'll do mine first.
Okay.
Ms. Pollitt.
Mr. Chair and members, there are three changes to the sales tax article, which is Article 9. The first is the change to the capital equipment provision on page 115, beginning on line 25. I'm sorry. Your page. 117. Beginning on line 25. The employee threshold has been reduced to 50 from 80 in the conference committee report, and we made a small change to the time that 50 employees must be captured. It's in the calendar year immediately prior to the calendar year of the sale and purchase. Another change from the conference committee report is to the data centers provision on page 118, line 19. You'll see that the $50 million investment within a 24-month period is reinstated. And that was a change from, I believe, $30 million within a three-year period. And as Ms. Manzi mentioned, the liquor reporting provisions are now in the sales tax article, having been moved out of the miscellaneous article.
Ms. Dalton. Altman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the other change that was made in the upfront capital equipment is that it no longer becomes an upfront capital equipment exemption for all businesses. It's only a permanent upfront exemption for these small businesses with employees of 50 or less. There is no move to a permanent upfront exemption for all businesses, which have been in the original bill.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Pollack or Ms. Dalton? Thank you very much.
Or Senator Ortman, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Senator Ortman.
I'm sorry, Ms. Dalton, do you have information about how many businesses would be affected by that? And I know you might not have it right here, but if there's more information on that, that would be helpful for us to know how many would be affected.
Ms. Dalton?
Senator Ortman, I'm going to defer to Ms. Templin or to see if
Ms.
she...
Ms. McQuaid?
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, I think we could work with the Department of Revenue and with Deed to get that information for the committee, but we don't have it right now. Thank you.
Representative Lewin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one other question on the data center. So if I read this correctly, we are not making any change to the provisions affecting data centers that were enacted last year. Is that correct? Would that be another way of stating that?
Ms. Pollack?
Mr. Chair and Representative Loon, the changes, there are no changes to the amount of the investment and the time in which that investment must be made. There are changes that were made in the conference committee report that remain in this version that reduce the requirement for the amount of square footage that must be substantially refurbished. And that goes to 25,000 from 30,000. And the clarifying language regarding the installation of the type of equipment that's required in the refurbishment and a clarifying definition of computer software remains the same as in the conference committee report.
Thank you. Representative Loon.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, but to clarify, we are carrying another $6.1 million in the 2014-15 biennium for the expansion for the refurbishment modification. We haven't changed the data center language or the amounts for the current biennium, but we have changed the out years for that refurbishment. Is that correct?
Ms. Dalton?
Senator Ortman, I believe that would be a question for the fiscal analyst, but yes, I do believe that the fact that the refurbishment square footage has been reduced and that we have modified fiscal cost.
Yes, Senator Ortman.
If you wouldn't mind, Ms. McQuaid, can you comment on that? I think we're carrying an expansion for the refurbishment in 2014 and 15.
Ms. McQuaid.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, coming out of conference committee, there was essentially two distinct provisions within the data center statute, one changing the threshold and the other changing the definition of refurbishment. And so by only changing the definition of refurbishment, we're still increasing the cost we're carrying for that change, but it's isolated only to the refurbishment change.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you.
Ms. Templin.
Mr. Chair, just going back to the question about capital equipment and how many businesses that would affect. The revenue estimate from the department shows that that manufacturing businesses with 50 or fewer employees employed 13.7% of total manufacturing employees. So that is roughly kind of a proxy of how many businesses that would affect for the capital equipment, about 14% of manufacturing businesses.
Thank you, Ms. Temple.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Ms. Pollack or Ms. Dalton? Okay, thank you very much. We'll now go to, we want to go over the spreadsheets, just the changes on the spreadsheets, and then we will go to member questions and then take a vote on the conference report. Ms. Templin?
Mr. Chair.
Do you have a certain order you'd like to go, or?
Mr. Chair, yes. We have the page. The spreadsheet is 9 pages, and the first page is a summary page, and we will proceed to the second page and cover the first page at the very end, which is a summary of the bill, the general fund impact. Two of the spreadsheet shows the last six columns show the impact in fiscal 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 of House File 2247. The first provision is the on line around line 12 and 13 is the Veterans Jobs Tax Credit. The estimated general fund revenue impact is all in the tails. It's at $3.3 million, an estimated revenue reduction. And compared to the House File 2337, the estimated revenue impact of that was $6.075 million. So House File 247, the tails have been reduced for the Veterans Jobs Tax Credit. Next, on the next provision, please proceed to line 17, around 17, 18, and that is in the R&D tax credit. There is an increase of the R&D tax credit, the rate changed from 2.8, which was in House File 2337, it changed to 3.1 and back down to 2.8 in House File 247. The cost is an estimated revenue reduction of 3.830 in 12 and 13 and 6.3 in the tails. The next provision is on line 23 of the spreadsheet. That is the Angel Investment Tax Credit. In this bill, the increase is in fiscal 13 only, with no increase in the tails. The increase in the current biennium is for $4.5 million.
Mr. Chair and members.
Okay.
On line 29 is the next change, and I'll just highlight that here, even though there's no change on the spreadsheet from conference committee, but the language is being carried in another conference committee, Senate File 1653. However, that conference committee did not carry the cost, and so the cost is reflected here. On line 31 is the historic rehabilitation credit retroactivity, and in the conference committee report 2337, there was effective date language to require that those credits be paid in fiscal year 14, and the change reflected here is to move those credits forward 1 year so that the credit is actually paid in fiscal year 13. Then on page 3, the next line is between 41 and 42, the change that Ms. Pollack mentioned about the capital equipment exemption for companies with 50 employees or less. That reduction and is reflected here. There's a reduction both in the first biennium and the second biennium, and then even though the tails, the out years are not reflected here, Ms. Dalton did note that this remains at 50 employees or less and does not expand to other businesses for the upfront exemption. Then between lines 44 and 45 is the data center refurbishment qualification, and Madam Chair, to your point, the cost of those two changes in House File 2337 was 12.3 in the second biennium, and because we're just carrying the refurbishment modification language, that's reduced to 6.1 in this conference committee report.
Michelle.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing down page 3, line 49 is a statewide property tax levy, and the change contained in House File 247 is found on the line between line 61 and 62. If you recall, in House File 2337, we removed inflation along with the interactions, and this change reflected in 247 is a one-year levy freeze, and it's 1 year only, having a value of approximately $18 million, and then inflation for growth as you proceed in calendar year 14 and beyond. So the impact in fiscal 12 and 13, you'll see a six-month impact of $10.2 million, and then in the tails, the impact is $36.9 million, roughly half of what was contained in House File 2337. We'll move now to the impacts that you'll see on page 5, which is general fund expenditures. Line 5 of that page is the change for the targeting property tax refund. The bill, House File 247, carries the impact in the tails only. So you'll see it's Senate language, the payment of 75% of the tax increase greater than 12% for a maximum refund of $1,000. So it is this permanent increase that you see reflected in House File 247. The amendment last night to House File 2690 contained the House language at 90% for pay 13 only. So you see part of it in this bill, part of it in the bill that was amended last evening. Moving down the page, notice lines between lines 8 and 11, the LGA items that were in House File 2337 are not in this bill. They were contained in the bill amended last night. And then we move to page 6.
Mr. Chair, on page 6 of this spreadsheet, looking at the appropriations, adjustments, and transfers section, the first change is on line 59, the Greater Minnesota Internship Grants. The appropriation is $1 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and $1 million each year in the tails, with, as Ms. Mancy mentioned, with a sunset for that program at the end of fiscal year 15. On line 60 of the spreadsheet, there is an appropriation for the Minnesota Investment Fund. It's a $7 million one-time appropriation, and this appropriation has been increased relative to what was in House File 2337. That appropriation was at $2 million. And finally, the local sales tax special revenue fund transfer to the general fund. That is not in House File 247. That is in the bill that was passed last night, House File 2690. So it has been removed from the spreadsheet.
Michelle?
Mr. Chair and members, the last two pages are kind of housekeeping pages for the non-general fund and for the no-cost items. Unless there are questions, we'll move forward to the summary page, page 1.
Michelle, on pages 8 and 9, I just want to point out that we made no changes on that from House File 2337.
Mr. Chair, on page 8, you will see one line, line 23 or thereabouts. We modified the spreadsheet to remove the one-time transfer from the special service fund that, as Ms. Templin said, was contained in the bill last night, 2690. So the non-general fund impact is now off that particular sheet. That is the only change.
Thank you. Page 1. Michelle?
Mr. Chair and members, moving back to page 1, you will see, I will just move to line 5. Out of all of the changes that we have just talked about, for fiscal 12 and 13, the impact of the changes of this bill is $46.329 million. Compare that to House File 2337, that impact was $47.711 million. for the TAILS Fiscal 14 House File 247. The impact is $73.283 million, which is roughly half of what was contained in House File 2337 at $145.4 million. As I move down the page, for the summary adjustments, lines 7 through 10, you will see the change in line 8. The transfer from the budget reserve has been reduced from $43.5 million in 12 and 13 from House File 2337 to $27.9 million in Fiscal 12 and 13 for this bill. No payment on line 9, no payment to the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. That's the UCARE component, so that has been zeroed out. So the total summary adjustments are $27.9 million. When you subtract that from the $46.329 million, the bottom line is a negative $18.4 million, which will be paid for by cost savings and other bills, not in this committee.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ms. McQuay, Ms. Templin, or Ms. Schell from members? Okay, then we have before us the motion that House File 247, as amended, be recommended to pass. Senator Ortman, make any for the conference we report 247. Any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill reflects an awful lot of work, and I would be remiss if I didn't first recognize the amazing contributions of so many fine counsel and fiscal analysts, Ms. Cadu and Mr. Patrick and others that have worked so hard, and those that have come to testify, and my colleagues who have served on this conference committee as well. This is about being persistent. Tax relief and jobs was our highest priority at the state capitol this year. I think we share that priority, and this morning we've shown that we are committed and dedicated. There's compromise in this bill. I think many of us would have liked to have accomplished more in terms of tax relief and jobs, but our goals were set very high. We were striving for excellence, and I think that we actually have achieved that. This is an excellent bill that warrants and deserves the governor's signature. There are so many features in this bill that warrant that signature. First and foremost, I believe, would be the upfront capital equipment exemption for our small businesses. I think the testimony today that that represents 14% of our manufacturing industry in the state of Minnesota, they need this jump start. They need a surge in orders that will generate then more economic activity on the part of the purchasers and on the part of the sellers, and will have a really big impact on the state of Minnesota and its economy. There are so many other features as well, but one, Mr. Chair, I'd like to point out is the extension of the tax revenue bonds at the federal level that would authorize more student loans for Minnesotans and would also authorize more small business loans. That is also a provision that I think is at the heart of what Minnesotans here need: small business loans, student loans, more of them available. So I think there are many features that I could talk about in this bill, but those are two that I think even by themselves warrant the governor's signature. And to you, Mr. Chair, I commend you for all of your hard work. We have had many hours together working on this bill, and I know that it's not over. I know that you are advocating every day for the governor's signature and bringing all that you have to bear to earn that signature. And so I appreciate your partnership and your leadership as well. And, Mr. Chair, I move adoption of or passage of the conference committee report.
As amended. Okay, I'd just like to wrap it up here with a few comments. And I, too, would be remiss if I didn't thank our excellent staff that we have here. You're tremendous. You've been so helpful. And whether it be our legislative staff, Katie Sen, DFL staff, Bobby Patrick, Stephen Rubis, Anna, Becky, the whole crew here. And then we have, of course, our House fiscal staff and House research, which I call the A-team. And Representative Loon, Representative Anderson, thank you. Thank you so much for all of your work on these issues. And members and everyone that is here in the room, to the governor, we felt that House File 2337 was a very signable bill. We listened to the governor very closely. We felt that, you know, it's all about jobs. It's all about jobs. And the governor was very clear in his State of the State address, and I took it very seriously, that he would present some of his good ideas, we'd present some of our good ideas, we put it together and get a bill. Well, governor, we've done that. We have done that. We listened. There are no poison pills in this bill. There's no reason that you cannot sign this bill. Now, we listened very carefully, too, after the veto message, that the governor wanted to meet us halfway, and we've done that, too. In fact, we've done more than halfway. Originally, our tails were, I think, in the $190 million range. Then we, in House File 2337, got them down to about $143 to $145. We have in this bill, the tails are down to $73. And in the context of a $35 billion budget, that is a rounding error. So there is no reason that the governor can use comments regarding tails to not support this bill. This bill is about jobs. There are more jobs in this bill than in the stadium and the bonding bill combined. And so this is a very good tax bill. And as Senator Ortman so eloquently said, I mean, the student loan provisions. Student loans are a big issue for a lot of Minnesotans. It's in this bill. All the local projects. We didn't ask Democrat, Republican. If you had a local project that had merit, it's in this bill. So I would just ask the governor to give this smoking hot tax bill his every consideration. I was given a little plaque when I was a little kid, and it said, it was right next to my bed, and it said, "Winners never quit and quitters never win." Well, we're never going to quit. And the governor needs to sign this bill to give the people of Minnesota a win. That's what this bill is about. So Senator Ortman renews her motion to the House File. The conference report on House File 247 as amended be recommended to pass. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion prevails. Thank you, members, and thank you, everyone. Good government all the time. We are adjourned.
What are you putting on? I don't care if it has the years as that construction thing. It did not. It obviously did not.
This is fine.
It's just that we